Rabbi Nosnazal concludes this section of the Likut Imran by saying, Hapam noides Hashem begila barino. Now we give praise to Hashem with joy and song, Asher zochinu l'sayim soved ve'atuna, that we were privileged to complete the discussions of Rabbi Nosnazal regarding the wise men of Athens, their debates with Rabbi Shuv and Hananiah, Dvorim hastumim v'chasumim be'elef iskoin, things that are sealed and double sealed with 1,000 locks. Ein chochma v'ein tfuna, we have no understanding in them. V'gam im yoimer hachochom lodas, lo yucha limtsoi nilag l'shoin ein bina. Nesiv lo yodu eit, lo yodu ayit, v'loi shezafosoi eina. Rav Nosnazal is using different phrases and terminology to imply that this is beyond our reach. These are very, very deep levels of Torah and of Chachma. Mo'adaber v'huomar v'osa, oznaim la'toira tzfuna. What should we say? Rav Nosnazal has prepared ears for the hidden Torah, not ears, like handles for the hidden Torah by which we can relate to it. Ato kapenu frusoi sel Hashem b'bakoshu tfilot chinah. Now our hands are outstretched to Hashem with prayer and pleading, Hashem yigmor ba'deinu lahatfis yeser hamamorim hanoiroim. May Hashem give us the opportunity to complete the rest of the awesome state teachings of Rabbi Nosnazal, mamorim hanoiroim, asher gilu bohem darkei avodosi yisborach bidrochim nifloim, whereby Rabbi Nosnazal revealed paths of serving Hashem in wondrous ways. Amudei sheish miyusodim al adnei foz, pillars of stone that are founded based on foundations of poz, of gold, solid gold. Al kol psukei tanach, val kol divrei hatanon v'amaroim, on all the psukim of Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, and on all the words of the tanoim and amaroim. Glilei zohov v'tarshish m'moloim, beautiful, again, Rav Nosnazal is using all types of beautiful poetic terminology to describe how beautiful and wondrous this Torah is. Mipninim yekorim, more precious than pearls. Umipoz mesuloim. Beschusam nizge lilmoid ulalameid lishmor velases ulakainas kol divrei soroscho. In the schus, the merit of learning these teachings, will be zochet to study, to teach, and to uphold and fulfill all the words of Hashem's Torah, asher kibalnu mipi adoim kohanavim, which we've received from the master, the leader of all prophets, being Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yikuyam b'mehero b'yameinu v'olo b'hartzion Moshiim, and may we see fulfilled speedily in our time that we'll be zeuche to conquer Eretz Yisrael completely. Omein ken yehi rotzen. Now, the next chapter, Torah Lamed Beis, is in a sense an independent entity, which begins Lashon Rabbi Nosnazal, that this chapter is the exact written words of Rabbi Nosnazal, which generally is a much shorter and more difficult terminology than the chapters which were written in Rabbi Nosnazal's paraphrasing, Rabbi Nosnazal's words. Torah Lamed Beis, Hashem Sfosai Tiftoch. This chapter is based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, which we use to introduce the Shmon Esrei. V'hu bechinas rikudin shel chasana. Rabbi Nosnazal says that this pasuk also refers to the concept of dancing at a wedding, which Rabbi Nosnazal discusses in several chapters in Likutei Moran. The fact that dancing, and in addition clapping hands, are ways, are physical actions which we do, which affect hamtoka sadinim, sweetening of judgments, heavenly judgments, against an individual person, or a community, or against all of Klal Yisrael. We know that during Rabbi Nosnazal's time, there were different decrees that the government, the Russian government at that time, had issued or planned to issue against the Jewish people, the famous Cantonist decrees about drafting Jewish children into the Russian army and having them serve for 25 years of service, thereby cutting them off completely and usually permanently from Yiddishkeit, from any contact with Jewish people. In addition, the decrees of forced secular education for Jews, and also certain decrees which involved assuring that the Jews would stay poor, financially poor. And Rabbein Azal dedicated some of his shiurim in teaching ways how we could participate in Hamtoka Sadinim, in being able to sweeten or eliminate these judgments against the Jewish people. Rabbein Azal's intention was that, number one, in teaching this Torah, and in he and his students fulfilling what's written in this Torah, he would thereby effect Hamtoka Sadinim. And we find that Rabbein Azal did say at one point in time that he had succeeded in pushing off one of these decrees for over 20 years. As was seen in the history at that time, that sure enough, that decree, which was planned much earlier, did not actually take effect until over 20 years later. Now Rabbein Azal says, Ki kol zman shelo nesuna lezivug, ki iskerias nar b'loy hei, naro b'loy hei, b'gimatria shach dinin. Rabbein Azal here is comparing the concept of a union between husband and wife in our physical world, a marriage, to the union in heaven, the heavenly union between the heavenly male and female, kaviochel. We know once again that in heaven there is no concept physically of anything physical, surely not male and female. It's a terminology that's used throughout Sifrei Kabbalah, Kabbalistic teachings, in order for us to be able to speak about the concept of giving and receiving. Giving is usually referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah as a concept of chasodim, kindness, a concept of male. The male is the mashpia, the one who gives. And receiving is a concept of female, nukva or gvurois, harshness. Generally, just as in a physical level, in order to effect a birth, in order to create something new, children, there has to be a union between male and female, and both have to be prepared for this union. So too, kaviyachol in heaven, in order for a union to take place between kaviyachol, male and female, there also has to be preparations. Certain preparations have to be done to make it happen. And this is what Rabbein Azal is referring to here now, when he tells us that so long as the female has not yet been prepared completely for zivug, for mating, she's called na'aro, but spelled without a hey. Just as we see in Chumash Dvorim, when the Torah discusses certain laws, the laws of Moitzi Shemra, or the laws of a woman being violated against her will, etc., we find that in the Chumash, in the Torah there, the term na'aro is spelled nun ayin resh, without the hey. In most times it's listed there. One time it's listed with a hey, and the Zohar Kodesh explains why. But for now, Rabbein Azal tells us that before the female is completely ready for zivug, she's called na'aro. In other words, it's pronounced na'aro, nun ayin resh hey, as if it had a hey at the end, but it's written without the hey, as if it were the word na'ar. Bigimatria shach dinim. And this word na'ar, nun ayin resh, nun is 50, ayin is 70, resh is 200, has a numerical value of 320, which refers to 320 dinim, 320 aspects of judgment. This is a term that's used throughout the Kisvi Arizal, the Zohar HaKodesh, and there are different formats as to how we come to this number 320. One of the formats is, as we'll see, Rabbein Azal will mention, that the term din, which means judgment, Dalet Yud Nun, is Bigimatria 64. We know that when we speak about the Midois of Hashem, the Sfirois, they're referred to usually as 5 Chasodim and 5 Gvurois. So that 5 times the word din, 5 times 64, is Bigimatria 320. This is this concept of Shach Dinim. The reason for the number 5, there are several reasons. One of the reasons is because Hashem's name Elokim, which represents judgment and harshness, has five letters. And these five letters of Elikim represent again the Chamisha Gvurois, five judgments. V'chad istaknes lezivug, and when the female has been completely prepared for mating, iskirias naro behei. At that point, she's referred to as naro with the hey at the end. Shenim tokim hadinim al yedei hey alfen shel eke shebebino, which means that the harshness, the judgments of Nara, of the female, have been sweetened through that hey being added to the word Nara, which is actually the five alephs of Hashem's name Ekye of Bina, Kemuva bePri Eitz Chaim Shara Mida, as is explained in the Pri Eitz Chaim of the writings of the Arizal, in the section that speaks about the Amidah, the Shmon Esrei, the introduction to the Shmon Esrei, this Hashem's Fosai Tiftoch. This term, Hey Alfin Shebe'ekia, refers to, we know that each of the names of Hashem can be written in its simple form, and also in the form of Milui. Milui means where we take each letter and we look at it as a complete word. For example, the letter Aleph, instead of simply writing it as an Aleph, we write it as Aleph Lamed Pei, the way it's pronounced, as if it were a word, Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei. In Hashem's name Ekye, as in other names of Hashem, there are certain letters that can be written several different ways. For example, the letter He can be written He Aleph, B'milui, or He He, or He Yud. These are the three forms in which the letter He can be written B'milui, which are used in different names of Hashem. So that, for example, the name Ekye has three formats. When written B'milui, the Aleph of Ekye is always written the same, Aleph, Lamed, Pei. The He of Ekye, one form of it is He Yud, one form of it is He He, and the other form is He Aleph. So that one form of Ekye is Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Yud. Then the Yud is spelled Yud Vov Dalid, as it's being pronounced. And the second Hey, again, Hey Yud. This format has the numerical value of 161, Kasa, as it's called. And this is mentioned, by the way, in the second chapter of Likutei Moran and in Torah Vov and Likutei Moran. These are two places where this name of Ekye is discussed, these Miluyim of Ekye, and how they relate to us. The second format of Ekye is Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Hey, Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Hey, where the numerical value is 141. I'm sorry, 151. 151, correct. Kuf Nun Aleph Kano, which is also Bigimatria Mikveh. The third format is Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Aleph, Yud Vav Dalet Hey Aleph, which has a numerical value of 143. If we look at these three Miluyim of Ekye, there's a total of five Alephs in them. The letter Aleph appears five times. In the third format that we mentioned, there were three Alephs. The Aleph of the letter Aleph, the Aleph of the letter Hey, and the Aleph of the second Hey. Those are three Alephs. Whereas in the other two forms that we discussed, the letter Aleph appeared only one time in each. So it's a total of five Alephs. These are the five Alephs of Ekye. Rabbein Azal tells us that when the letter Hey is added to Na'ar, to the spelling Nun Ayin Reish of Na'ar, this Hey represents these five Alephs of Ekye being added, which is part of the preparation of this Nara, of the Nara here refers to the sphere of Malchus, the Malchus of Hashem, which is sometimes referred to as the Shechina being prepared for mating. Nimtza, Hakala, Adayin, Bebechinas Nara, Bebechinas Shachinim. So at first, the Kala, the bride, is in the status of Nara, spelled without the Hay, which has that numerical value of 320 dinin. V'tzorech lahamtiko ulesakna, we have to sweeten this judgment, these shach dinim, these 320 dinim, and fix them, prepare them for a higher level. This is accomplished by the dancing that's done at a wedding or at the preparation parties for the wedding. Because we know that the midos of Hashem, the attributes of Hashem, the spheros, are compared to different parts of the body. In one format, where the spheros are represented from head to toe, the midos of Netzach and Hoid correspond to the right foot and the left foot. There's another form whereby the 10 midos of Hashem, the 10 spheros, are contained completely in the head. We compare them to 10 parts of the head. In that case, Netzach and Hoid represent the two lips. So now Rabbi Nizal tells us, V'heim ki'oraglin heim b'chinas Netzach v'hoid. The feet, the legs, represent Netzach and Hoid. V'heim nisnasim al yidei alev. They are elevated through the heart. They are lifted up through the heart. Haynu al yidei simchas alev. When a person's heart is full of joy and happiness, that joy and happiness in the heart affects the feet, makes the person want to dance, want to lift up their feet and dance. Kanira b'chush, shaydei simchas alev maraktin. As we see in actual physical form, that a person, when they're happy, very happy, this happiness manifests itself in dancing. Kemoshikosav gabi Yaakov, even as we see by Yaakov Avinu, when Hashem spoke to him right before he was going to the house of Lavan, where eventually he would find his brides and marry them, the Pasuk says afterwards, Vayisa Yaakov is raglov, Yaakov Avinu lifted up his feet and headed for the house of Lavan. Upirush Rashi, Rashi HaKodesh says there, Liboy noso es raglov. The joy in his heart is what lifted up his feet. Velev hu bina. We know that the heart is referred to as bina, represents bina. Kamay shekosuv bina libo, as we find in the Posach Elio of the Tikkunei Zohar, where it explains how each part of the body corresponds to one of the midos of Hashem, the heart represents bina. Ubo halev maven, as we find in different psukim in the Torah, where it tells us that the heart represents the seat of understanding. Alkein tzorech lechavein berikudin, lahamshich ho alfin shebelev, al yidei horaglin lahakalo. Therefore, when a person is dancing at a wedding or at a preparation for a wedding, the person has to have in mind that through this act of physically dancing, they want to draw these alfin of bina, these five alephs of ekya. Ekya is one of the names of Hashem that represents bina, which is the heart. They want to draw that joy of the heart, which kabbalistically is represented in these five alephs of bina, via the legs to the kala, to the bride. The bride represents the sphere of malchus, which is usually the bottom of the feet. Shehi bechinas hei pa'omim din b'gematria shach, gematria nara, without the hei, which, as we said earlier, the bride, before she's ready, is in this status of nara, without the hei at the end, which is this 320 dinim. Vaydei oyer halev shenimshach lo, and through this light of the heart, this joy in the heart that's manifesting itself in this dancing, through this light of the heart that's being transferred into the kala, nasis na'ara behei, she is elevated from the status of na'ara without a hei to na'ara with a hei. V'nasis hei pa'omim aleph dalet nun yud. And now, instead of being, as we mentioned earlier, five times Na'ar without the hay, being Bigimakri of 320, she becomes five times Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is 325. Interesting to note, it's brought in Sforim that we see in Megillah Esther, which we read on Purim, when it speaks about the anger of Hashem being the anger of Achashverosh, being subsiding and being calmed after he received a new bride, Esther Amalka, to replace Vashti, the Pasuk says, Vachamas Hamelech Shochoho, the anger of the king was subdued, was subsided. The term Shochoho is Shin Chof Hey. The Chof is a double Chof, there's reasons for that, but on a simple level it's Shin Chof Hey, which is this five times Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents subduing the din, sweetening the midas hadin. And we know that whenever it says Hamelech in the Megillah, it refers to Achashverosh, and we're told also it represents Hamelech, the king Hashem. It alludes to Hashem. There are different allusions. All the Hamelechs that are mentioned in the Megillah also refer Kaviyocho, Lahavdil, to Hashem. Now Rabbein Ezel continues, Vezeh the Isa b'Medrash, and this is why we find the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Kishenoso Yaakov es Leo, that when Yaakov Avinu went ahead and married Leo, he had been tricked by Lavan. He thought he was receiving Rachel as a bride. He had worked initially for Rachel, and Lavan went ahead and pulled a switch on him and gave him Leah instead. The Medrash tells us that when they were dancing, when the local people were dancing at the wedding, on the wedding night, they were singing Hailaya. They were hinting to Yaakov Avinu, they weren't permitted to reveal to him that this was really Leah, but in their singing, in the words that they were saying the Aramaic words, which meant, this is Leah, this is Leah. Hainu, ki Leo hi almo diskasya. Rabbein Ezel explains, we know Kabbalistically, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the Shechina, the Spirit of Hashem, manifests itself in two formats. One format is a revealed format, which is much closer to us, down to earth, kaviyochel, as we would say. In that format, the Shechina is referred to as Rachel. Or there's a second format that the Shechina takes, where the Shechina is much more hidden, where it's referred to as Leah, the upper Shechina, which is referred to as Alma Diskasya, hidden, Shehu Hu Bechina Slave. When the Shechina is referred to as Leah, it's referred to as Bina, the two spheroids which represent this upper Shechina, lower Shechina, this hidden Shechina and revealed Shechina, are Bina and Malchus. So that Leah Kaviyochel represents Bina, which is the upper Shechina, which is represented by the heart. Kemo Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Belibi Tzofanti Imrosecho. In my heart is hidden your words. So we see that the heart represents this concept of tzofun, hidden. This iskasya, this hidden shechin of Leah. Umishom hamituk shel hadinim kishemamshichim hei me'alev. And that's the place from which the hamtokas hadinim takes place. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us many times, ein hadin nimtak ela b'sharoshoy, that when you want to sweeten judgments, you have to go to the source of the judgment, to the origin of the judgment, to sweeten it. So that the place from which we sweeten judgments usually is Bina, which is the source of Gvura, the origin of the Midas Hadin. And that's from where we sweeten these Dinim, by drawing the Hay, the five Alfin of Eke, as we said earlier, Shebebina, drawing it that from the heart, Vezeh Hay Leah. And this is why they were singing, this is Leah. They were implying that this hay that's going to be used to sweeten the Nara, the hay that's going to be added to Nara, to sweeten it, comes from Leah. Shetzorech lahamshich mi Leah ho'alfin kedei lahamtik ulasakin es hakala. That we have to draw from Bina, which is referred to as Leah, the heart, this joy, this simcha, which Kabbalistically means these five Alephs, which equals hey, five. Five times one is five. To draw this hey, which is what's going to sweeten and prepare the kala for her union with her husband. Gam hoyu oimrim shehakala shmo Leah. And in addition, the people were telling him, were trying to hint to Yaakov Avinu that the bride is really Leah. Her name is Leah. Shaydei bechinas atzmo nimtekes. Meaning that she, her dinim will become sweetened via herself. The hamtokas adin comes from her herself, kavyachol, in this case. We continue the shir on Likutei Moran, chelek aleph, Torah lamed gimel. Mi ho'ish hechofetz chayim oyhev yomim lirois toiv. Rabbeinu Zal bases the shir on this pasuk, and as usual, later on he'll go into interpreting, showing how in this pasuk is included the different concepts that he presents. Haklal hu, the rule or principle is shetzorich levakish sholaim, that a Jew, an individual Jew, and Klal Yisrael have to seek peace. Sheyihye sholoim ben Yisrael. Number one, that there should be peace among Jews. V'sheyihye sholoim l'kol odom b'midoisav. And that there should be peace within each individual person regarding their midois. Each and every person has, just like in Klal Yisrael, there are different people with different natures. And the Echo begins, one of the words, the opening statements in the Midrash, in the Megillah of Echo is, Rabosi Bagoyim. It describes Klal Yisrael as Rabosi Bagoyim, and the Gemara says, Rabosi Badeois, that Klal Yisrael are made up of many different opinions. Now we know that that's not just Klal Yisrael. Each individual, each one of us, can be many different people. In the morning, I can be in a good mood. I can be happy, optimistic, strong. In the afternoon, I could be upset, depressed, worried, insecure, etc., etc. And Rabbeinu Zal says here that a person has to see to it that there should be shalom b'midoisov. Hainu shelo yiyeh mechulak b'midoisov u'bima'oiroisov. That a person should be stable. He shouldn't be wishy-washy in his midois and in how he relates to different events going on in his life. There are certain people who, when things seem to be going good for them, they're happy. When things seem to be going to bad for them, they think that it's okay to be unhappy or to be crazy or to be angry or mad. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal is teaching us here that a true Jew is one who is at peace all the time, meaning he knows how to respond. He knows how to deal with different situations. And a major high won't knock him out of his kalim, won't make him go crazy and, you know, flip out in that way. And when something happens that seems to be terrible, that also won't knock him off his, he'll remain stable, he'll know how to handle it all properly. Shelo yeloi chiluk bein betivoi bein bakoi, said there won't be any difference in his emuna in Hashem, in his love and respect for Hashem, in how he relates to his fellow Jews, whether things are going good for him, betivoi, or ba'akoi, or whether things seem to be going not so well. Tomid yimtzaboi Hashem yisborach. He will always find Hashem in the situation, and he'll always connect with Hashem. And in being connected with Hashem, he'll always be okay. It's when a person, chas v'shalom, thinks that Hashem isn't there, you know, they don't see Hashem, or that Hashem, if when a person doesn't realize that this is coming from Hashem, then a person can respond all kinds of different ways, you know, and sometimes in wrong ways. But if a person is conscious of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that Hashem is in everything, Hashem is in the successes, and Hashem is in the failures, you know, what we call failures. Hashem is in the up and down and everything, and that all of it is to my benefit, you know, that Hashem is only good, Toiv Hashem Lakoil, Hashem is all good. Such a person has shalom, has a certain level of peace, a peace of mind that nothing can disturb. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal says another way of phrasing this is like in the Pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Bashem Ahalal Dovor, Belikim Ahalal Dovor. I can praise, I can give praise when there's Yudke Vavke, when there's Chesed, and I can give praise, Belikim, when there's Midas Hadin. Vaideima Yimsa Shem Yizbara Bein Betivoy Bein Bakoy. What gives a person this ability to be able to find Hashem at all times, in all situations, to be connected with Hashem, to have this stability? Al yedei ha-Torah, Hanikras Shalom. It's through the Torah, which is called Shalom, peace. That's one of the names of the Torah. Kedisa, as the Pasuk says, Derocheho Darchei Noyam, V'chol Nesivoiseho Shalom. All of her paths are Shalom. So a person studying Torah properly, that'll give him this level of Kesher to Hashem, that no matter what, he'll handle the situation properly and he'll be stable. That's number one. Number one, through the Torah, that's called Shalom. Number two, Validei Atzadikim, Shenikru Gamkein Bris Shalom. And also, by connecting properly with the Tzadikim, who are also called the Covenant of Peace. Like Hashem said to Pinchas, Hineni Noisein Loyes Brisi Shalom. And through this, the person will have the ability to love peace and to be at peace in every situation, high or low. And this can bring about a peace among Klal Yisrael. And to allow us to be able to love each other. Incredible opening statement. And we know that the rule in Likutei Moran usually is that the opening paragraph of the Torah, Rabbeinu Zal presents the main theme and of the entire Torah. The rest is explanation, elaboration, you know, etc., etc. Paragraph Beis. V'tzorich lodas shemaloi choloretz kevoidoi. A Jew has to know that Hashem's glory is everywhere. There is no place from which Hashem is completely absent or void. Hashem fills all the worlds and surrounds all the worlds. And even a Jew who is working in an environment with non-Jews. Cannot excuse himself and say, I can't serve Hashem now. I can't be religious now. I can't be feeling close to Hashem and connected and from and everything in this circle, in this situation I'm in, when I'm digging a foundation of a building with 10 goyim. You know, we're working together with these guys. Because he's involved in such physicality, you know, etc. Because of his involvement, you know, that he's so involved with them. Because our rabbis have already taught us that in all physical things, and even in the languages of the goyim, we can find Hashem there. We can find Ruchnius, spirituality there. Ki b'loy elikusoi, ein lohem shum chiyus v'kiyum klal. Because without Hashem's presence, they have no existence whatsoever. The physical world has no existence without Hashem's presence. And even the goyim, the other nations of the world, have no existence without Hashem being there. As the Pasuk says, Va'ato mechaye eskulam. You, Hashem, give life to all of them. All of them means everyone. Levad shehachiyas velikus hazeh shom betzimtzum godol ubemuit rak kedei chiyuni lach yoyse velo yoyser. Although, in other words, the level of spirituality that's found in those places is very limited and very constricted, just enough for them to live and not more. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzimtzem eselikusoi b'tzimtzumim rabim v'shoinim meireishes hamachshova ad nekudas hamerkas shelel magashmi sheshomod haraklipois. Hashem constricted his spirituality with all kinds of restrictions from the highest places to the lowest places of this physical world where you have klipos and forces of tuma. Ubechol ma shemishtal shel yoiser umistzamtzem yoiser lamato elikusei melubashom b'mabushim rabim yoiser. And the more Hashem's light goes down to lower levels, the more constricted it is and the more coverings it has, protective coverings, so that they shouldn't be able to draw more than is necessary.
וזה שגילו חזל ופוסחלונו פסח, שהמסקיל ידע ויובן שבכל הדבורם גשמיים יש אלקוסי וסבורך. אלקוסי וחיוסי. And this is the concept behind what our rabbis have revealed to us, so that, and given us an introduction, like giving us a foundation, so that every intelligent person will understand from the example that the rabbis give us, how this applies to other things. Which example are we talking about? That in everything in the world, and even in the physical things in the world, Hashem is to be found there. Spirituality is there. K'moy shomra chazal, as the Gemara says in Menachos, tat bekasfi shtayim, pat ba'afriki shtayim. The Gemara there is talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, which is one of the holiest mitzvahs that we have. And in the Chumash, it refers to it as toitofos. So the Gemara says, what is this word? We don't find it anywhere else. The Gemara says, you're right. It isn't anywhere. It's not really a Hebrew word. The word toitofos means four, because we know the tefillin are four parshias. How do you get four? Because the Gemara says that the first two letters, tat, in one of the languages means two, and pat in one of the language, we're talking about languages, secular languages, languages of the goyim. So we see here that in their languages is found ruchnius, is found a spirituality. Lohidia, this is to inform us, shebechol l'shoinoi so'akum yesh shom elekusay amachayosayim, that within all these secular languages there is a spark of spirituality which sustains them. V'zeh shemevi b'Yerushalmi, and this will also tie into the famous Gemara in the Yerushalmi, where the Gemara says, im yoyim elecha odom heichon elokecha, if a person will say to you, where is your Hashem? Toymar loy b'krach godol shebaroimi, tell him, Hashem is in the big capital city of Rome, in the Vatican. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Eli koire miseir. Hashem says, the Navi cries out to me, calls out to me from Seir. Where is Seir? The land of Esav. Nimtza, shezeh ha'odom sheshoal heichan elokecha. Rabbi Nizal explains, this person who is asking this question, where is Hashem? Bevadai hu meshuka b'modar haklipos. This person is certainly in a place that seems to be completely void of Hashem. He's in the place of the klipos, the tumah, sitrachra, goyim, ki hoitzi esatzmei min haklal, because he has taken himself out of the category of Jews. The kofar b'ikor, he's denying, you know, he's in denial. He's saying, where is Hashem? I don't say, there is no Hashem. Hashem. Shomar heichon eloikecho, where is your Hashem? Remember, that's his question. It appears to that person as if where he's at, Hashem is not there. Therefore, the response to him is, afilu bimkoimcho, even in your place, she'ata meshuka b'modor haklipois, that you are steeped in the residence of the sitra achra, the klipois, gam kein shom tuchalim tzilekusoi, you can even find Hashem there and connect Hashem from there. Kihu mechayes hakoil, because Hashem is the one who gives life to everything. Kama shekosov v'yato mechayes kulam, as we mentioned before. Umishom atayochay ledabek esatzim chaboy yisborach, and from where you're at, in your place, where it seems to you that Hashem is totally absent there, from there you can connect to Hashem, v'loshuveilav b'tshuva shleima, and to return to Hashem with a complete tshuva. Ki loy rechoyko hi mimcha, because its spirituality is not far from you. Elo shebimkoim chashom rabu halavushim. It's just that because you find yourself now in a place that is sitra achra, in a place of super tuma, so the spark of Hashem that's there is covered over with many coverings. But if you'll believe in it, and if you'll search for it, and you'll remove those coverings, you will connect with Hashem, no problem, even where you're at. The more a person climbs from one level to the higher level, he's coming closer to Hashem. And he has the ability to understand Hashem with a higher level of understanding. Nismatu halavushim v'nismait hatzimtzum, because the more we refer to a higher level of spirituality or a higher level of chachma d'kedusha or closeness to Hashem, the more we're talking about a place where the light is more obvious and where there's less coverings. Vos hu mekurav yoyser Hashem Yisbarach. And then the person is closer to Hashem. Ve'yochoy lehoy v'satzmayim Hashem Yisbarach bi'av yaseira. And he can have a closer bond with Hashem. He can have a much greater level of love and oneness with Hashem.